The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Well, take your Bibles tonight, if you would, and turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter number 3. And we're going to begin reading tonight in verse 14. We'll read down through verse number 17. John chapter 3, verses 14 down through verse 17. The Bible says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Let's pray. Father, bless the preaching of the word tonight. Pray that you would just speak to our hearts and challenge us this evening. Help us to think about these words that you have allow the Holy Spirit to inspire the writer of the Scriptures to pen for us and speak to our hearts in a very special way. Open our eyes to these truths. Challenge us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if I was leading the singing tonight, I would have said, you can pick out missionary songs, missionary favorite songs. So I feel like I should preach a Christmas message tonight. But then I thought, well, I guess in a way I'm going to preach a Christmas message tonight, because the whole point in Jesus coming into the world was to save sinners like you and me. Amen? Amen. And so we want to preach, though, about missions. And I thought as we sang all of those Christmas carols tonight, that how many people will sing those carols in the next several weeks, or they'll hear them in department stores or in supermarkets, or they'll see television shows about Christmas and all of that. And I wonder how many people will really focus or think about the true meaning of Christ and why Jesus was born into this world. Christmas carols were very instrumental, actually, in my wife's life. She first thought being raised in a home where Jesus was never talked about and God was never talked about. When she went to public school, still at that time, they sang Christmas carols. And she says that it was through those carols that she began to think about, who is this Jesus that they're singing about? And she couldn't get any information at home about it because her parents really weren't interested in Jesus. But it shows you how when the name of Jesus is named, the name of Jesus has power in people's lives. And it began to affect her life. And from the time she was a little girl until later on in life, she just wondered, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And then walked into a little schoolroom in Clarksburg and heard the gospel clearly presented for the first time, and had gone there with her future husband, that would have been me, And to meet the preacher and talk with the preacher. And she heard about Jesus with 15 or 16 people there. And the Thompsons were there. And she accepted Christ as her Savior. But it really all started, as far as her testimony goes, it started when she heard some Christmas carols. And they don't sing, I don't think they sing Christmas carols in public school any longer. They don't talk about Jesus any longer. So you know that, of course, in the history of our country, that the Bible was taken out of the schools and prayer was taken out of schools and anything to do with Jesus is taken out of schools. It's kind of sad, though, in our country that in a lot of the schools, there's a lot of talk about Islam today, but don't dare talk about Jesus Christ. And that's a shame. It shouldn't be that way. But It is. In other countries in the world, you can go and you can take the name of Jesus right into the schools. I mentioned to you our good friend from up in St. Albans, Vermont, Pastor Bruce Patterson, has been in the Philippines and going right into the public schools and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I want to continue the thought tonight about missions and the need for missions. And so you noticed in the text here, as Jesus is speaking, look at verse 14. He says, as Moses was lifted up, or as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, what was he talking about? So let's just go back to the Old Testament. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go back to the book of Numbers in the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers chapter number 21, if you will. So Jesus is making reference here to something that happened way back in the book of Numbers. And I'm going to read a little bit of that for you tonight just to bring this all into context. So Numbers chapter number 21, and we'll pick it up in verse number 7, actually. Verse number 7 of Numbers chapter 21. The Bible says, therefore the people came to Moses and said, for we have spoken against, just lost my place for him, excuse me. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he may take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. See, they had spoken against God, and they had said to God, why have you brought us up out of Egypt into the wilderness, he said. And there's no bread here, and there's no water here, and our soul, we loathe this light bread, meaning the manna from heaven. And so they griped and they were unhappy with God. And so God brought this judgment upon them. And they realized it. They realized they had sinned against God. And so God sent fiery serpents. And these serpents were deadly. And when they would bite the people, they would die. Well, in a place called the Garden of Eden, a serpent came along, and he deceived Adam and Eve into sinning against God. Amen? And from that point forth, there's been a venom, a deadly venom in the blood of human beings. And that's the venom of sin. That's the venom of disobedience to God. That's the venom of our sinful nature. And so God had a plan. And we sang about that plan in the service tonight when we sang all those Christmas carols, that God would send his Son into the world to save sinners. And so that's the context. Now, if you go back to John chapter number 3, and we look at these verses again, probably John chapter 3 and verse 16, perhaps the most famous verse in all the world, but Moses, it says in verse 14, as he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, listen, that's what evangelization is about. That's what missions is about. It's lifting up Jesus for all the world to see Jesus, to understand, to hear what Jesus has done. He is the cure for the sin, the venom that we call sin. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin and that sinful nature. We perish. We perish. And the world is perishing. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Even as we sit here tonight, there'll be multitudes. Each time you click your finger, multitudes dying and perishing and going to a Christless eternity because of the venom, because of sin. And so missions, it's about lifting up the Savior. whether it's missions here in our own Jerusalem, or whether it's about missions in Judea or Samaria, or to the uttermost parts of the world. It's about lifting up Jesus for people to see. It's about lifting up Jesus for people to be cured from the disease, from the venom of sin. The Apostle Paul said this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again according to the Scriptures. So we talked this morning about the preaching and getting the Word of God into the world, and for people to have the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, and the importance of sharing the gospel with people through the written word, as well as through the spoken word. That's a world view. That's a view that you and I need to have as we lift up and as we raise up Jesus. You know, I read that text out of the Old Testament. It's kind of interesting in the Old Testament. We saw that in this morning's message that God was interested in all the world seeing who he is. But in the Old Testament, he did a little different than in the New Testament, the age in which we live. You know that Israel and Jerusalem, according to the book of Ezekiel, is at the center of the world. Geographically, it's at the center of the world. And it's really interesting, but in the Old Testament, the world looked upon Israel, looked upon the Jewish people, and God worked through them. And it wasn't as if God didn't take the message outside of Israel. We studied in Wednesday nights, the last few Wednesday nights, the book of Jonah. And God sent Jonah to the Iraqi, who are the Iraqi people today, and to declare unto them the glory of God. And they received that message. But in the Old Testament, God worked through a nation. He worked through a people. And we see that. But God was interested, as we saw this morning, that all the world should know, that all the earth should know who he is. But today God sends people out into all the world. The Great Commission, go into all the world and teach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them whatsoever things I have commanded you. That's what missions is about. And God gives all of us an opportunity to have a part in that. He gives all of us an opportunity to do something about that. And I believe with all my heart that God wants every believer somehow involved with a worldview, somehow involved in missions. That's the instruction that God gives us. You know, I liked our, we don't use it much any longer, but we had a track that we used for years, and on the cover of that track, and it said on that track, God's simple plan of salvation, and on the cover of that track was a picture of the world, the earth from outer space. And it was really a great picture. That was the idea, as you looked at that, that God was interested in everyone, on every continent, different people. And That should burn in our heart as we think about that. Our theme verse out of Revelation chapter number 5 and verse 9. Every kindred and every tongue and every people and every nation. That's what missions is about. Reaching every kindred, every people, every tongue, and every nation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not just America, not just Israel, but the world. Every group of people that need to hear the gospel. And we all need to be involved in that. We all need to lift up Jesus as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And they would look at that brass serpent. And it's really ironic, but if you turn, I believe it's in 1 Kings, years and years, hundreds of years later, you know what happened to that brass serpent? The Israelites, they began to worship that brass serpent as an idol, as if there was some power in the serpent itself. And in the end, that brass serpent, it would be destroyed. And there's really a picture in that. It's like much of of Christianity today are that's become nothing more than a religion as opposed to a relationship. People kind of look at the religion aspect of it and worship the religion aspect of it and not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we enter into that season where many people who don't normally attend church or very sporadically attend or very infrequently, they'll go and they'll do a religious duty. In a sense, it's like that what that brass serpent became, just a religious icon and nothing more. The world. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, I don't think I'd ever heard that statistic that Brother Sandy gave us this morning that said that every person that receives a John in Romans, or when a John in Romans is handed out, seven people read that. Seven people. That's astounding. That's a lot of people. And those of you that have had a part in that, just think about that. Those of you that come Wednesday night, those John and Romans are going to go to Mexico, and people are going to receive those. And some people say, I'd like to go to South America or to Asia and work with missionaries, or I'd like to go to Africa and work with missionaries, or I'd like to go to Europe and work with missionaries. Well, you know what? When you're involved in a ministry like John and Romans, and you might not go, but you send something that you worked on, in a sense, you've gone. You're there. Take your Bibles now, if you would, and go to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. There's three simple truths I want you to see out of Romans chapter 10. Three simple truths. Romans chapter 10, read with me verses 12 through 17. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me just stop there for a minute. If you're saved tonight, you're one of those whosoever's. Amen? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then the Bible goes on to say, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him and whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Three things I'll give you out of this text tonight. Three simple truths. Number one is this. If you and I are truly going to have a worldview, if we're really going to be missions-minded, we have to understand this. Look at verse 14. There are those who God is sending. Did you see that in verse 14? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be, what's that word? Say it out loud. Sent. Except they be sent. They. How shall they, verse 14, call on him? Did you notice how many times the word they? How shall they call on? How shall those people in the Philippines call on him? They're the they. How shall the people in Ecuador? They're the they. How shall the people in Bolivia? They're the they. And the peoples in the nations of Europe and Africa, they are the theys. How should you? You're part of the vase. How shall they call on him? That's the world. For God so loved the world. The vase. There is no difference, verse 12, between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is rich unto all that call upon him. Oh, boy, I'm glad of the day I called upon Jesus. And he was merciful and gracious. I'm glad that a man by the name of Lester Ainsworth felt burdened to come to this city and was moved of God to start a little Baptist church on the edge of town. And I'm glad for those men and other churches that helped finance him to get him here. Somewhere in my file upstairs, I have that list. I've mentioned it before, but I've got a piece of paper, and on that piece of paper are the 12 or 14 or 15 churches that financially got involved to help a man come to the city and to raise up a work here. And God had sent him. I'm thankful for that. Because God used that man to change this man's heart. A lost man. A man who had rejected the message of Christ. A man who mocked Jesus and mocked Christianity and laughed at Christianity. But God used that man to speak to this man and change this man's heart. To the preaching of the gospel. This church was a missions work. That's how it started. There are those who are sent. The they. And the preacher. The preacher, how shall they preach? To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. This morning in the Sunday school class, Brother Sandy gave a report about the missions work in Czechoslovakia and in the city of Prague. Prague? Prague? Prague. Prague, that's what I'm trying to say. Prague, like frog, Prague. And so, and he said there, he said at those, 250,000 or something invitations that got sent out, that they had a Bible study that had started, and there was now 18 faithful people in that Bible study. And he said this, he said, he was challenging us, and he made a comment, Brother Sandy, something like this. He said, you know, you might think, well, all of that effort and all of that work and tens and thousands of invitations in John and Romans, and they had a small group of 18. He said something you might think was worth it. Well, if all 18 of those people are saved, I can tell you they think it's worth it. They think it's worth it. For the preaching of the cross unto them which perish, it's foolishness. But to those 18, it was the power of God unto salvation. I remember when Brother Reddick came here. He called me and he said, I'm going to the Czech Republic. I'd like to come and present the work. I said, Brother Reddick, you're welcome to come. We're not taking on any missionaries right now, but you're welcome to come. We'll pray for you. And we'll give you a love offering. And he came, and I don't know if it was a Sunday or a Wednesday. I don't even remember. And he came, and he preached. And he presented the field of the Czech people, one of the most really communist countries there in Europe. Very hard line. People who were raised for several generations in atheism. Completely rejected God. And I remember seeing him like a week later at a fellowship meeting. I just couldn't get him off my mind. I couldn't stop thinking about him. And I saw him there and at that meeting, and I said, you know what, brother? I said, we had no intentions of taking you on for support, but you know what? We're going to take you on for support. I don't think we could afford it at the time. By the way, if you always wait to do things that you can afford to do, you won't do half the things that God wants you to do. You just won't. It doesn't work that way. And giving to missions doesn't work that way. I guess Brother Sandy had heard that the church had given me a motorcycle for my 25th anniversary, and I'm glad to tell that story to everyone. But let me tell you this little story that happened. You know, I love to ride motorcycles, since Brother Frank would let me borrow his, and I was thinking back in January or February of buying my own motorcycle. I went down to Ronnie's, you asked Frank, we looked at a motorcycle, and I'm thinking, well, maybe I can afford my own. And I was looking at, you know, like a $3,000 to $5,000 motorcycle, and I'd get a loan out and make payments because I really enjoy it. My wife enjoys it. And I was just joking with my wife afterwards. I told her I'd been looking around a little bit, and I said to her, not serious at all, I said, you know, if you and I, we stopped giving the missions, I could afford to buy a motorcycle. Never thinking once for a minute that I would ever stop giving the missions. I said this, prayed about it, and the Lord just spoke to my heart. I just couldn't afford a motorcycle. And I said, God, if you want me to have a motorcycle, you're going to have to give me a motorcycle. And then several months later, you all gave me a motorcycle. But here's the point. God still gives us the desires of our heart when we give back to God the desires of his heart. And it is the desire of God's heart for you and I to be involved in missions, to be involved in giving, to be involved in reaching the lost. It is the desire of God. It is the heart of God to give to missions. It is the heart of God to send. And in the plan of God in Romans chapter number 10, there are always those who are sent. And our missionaries that we support right now, they're the ones that were sent. They've been sent to go to these various mission fields because God spoke to their heart. Listen, they didn't just wake up one day and say, you know, I really got nothing better to do with my time. I think I'll be a missionary. It sounds like an exciting life. Sounds like, I can see the world and so on and so forth. And No, God spoke to their hearts. God burdened their hearts with a people. See, while many of the missionaries that we have, they'll tell you they're burdened for the people of their country, it's really not their burden so much. It's God's burden that he laid upon their life. And then they go. They've been sent. And so, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And so our missionaries, how it works is they'll come to churches like ours, and those missionaries, as they come to a church like ours, they'll present the work that God's called them to. They're on what's called deputation. And they'll present that work, and they're looking for churches to be sending churches to help them go. And they'll pray, and God will burden churches. And so those 39 missionaries that we support right now, God burdened our heart. And so when we take up an offering and we have faith promise missions, that's the sending aspect of our church, to get them to the mission field and to finance them on the mission field so that they can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all of the world, and so that you and I, we can have and we can fulfill the Great Commission. We send those who are sent of God. So that's part of the worldview, those who are sent. But look at verse 15. Let me read it again. And how shall they preach except they be sent? So if they're the ones who are the sent, there are the ones who are the senders. There are those who send. They, the preacher, would be sent. Take your Bibles and go back one book to the book of Acts, chapter number 13. Acts chapter 13, the early days of the church, just before Paul's missionary journeys. In chapter 13 of the book of Acts, verse 1, the Bible says, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, which was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And they ministered to the Lord and fasted. The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. So there they all are. They're ministering there in the church in Antioch. They're reaching the people of Antioch. But the Holy Spirit comes along, and the Holy Spirit speaks to them. And the Holy Spirit says, I have two, one Barnabas and one Saul, and I'm going to separate them from this body of believers because I have a work for them to do. And before I forget this thought, understand this too, that all of our missionaries, they were all involved in a local New Testament church when God called them. They all have a home church, all of our missionaries. That's usually what we call the sending church. Just as if here, Barnabas and Saul, their sending church is Antioch. And I don't remember all of the sending churches with regards to our missionaries, but many of the missionaries that we support, when we send their support check, we send it to their home church. Not all, but a good number of them. Like the Allens in Papua New Guinea. They are sent out of their local church. So we send their $75 check to their local church there in, I think it's either Ohio or Kentucky. Kentucky. We send it to that church. Brother Scott Sandy, who is here today, his home church, his sending church, is Valley Bible Baptist Church. We send the check to them. And several others. And some of our missionaries are out of missions sent. They have, I hate to use the word agencies. They're not really agencies. They're clearinghouses that operate in a sense where you send them that check and then they send the money to the missionary. But all of our missionaries have a home church, a sending church that they answer to, as well as reporting back to the churches that support them. And here, this is what was taking place in Antioch as God is about to send Barnabas and Saul. In verse 3 it says, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, read out loud, would you, those last four words there? I'm going to read verse 3. You read out loud with me those last four words. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. They sent them away. They sent them to minister, to preach the gospel. By the way, that answers the question. It's not raised, it's never been raised in this church, but I've heard it raised. Shouldn't we evangelize right here before we send people to go there? Well, I can guarantee you that not everybody in the city of Antioch was saved. And they still sent Paul and Barnabas to preach the gospel somewhere else. The whole world. That's why Judson left America and went to Burma. And Hudson Taylor to China. That's why William Carey left England and went to India to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why Livingston left Scotland and went to Africa. And people like Eliot left America and went to South America. And today, people are leaving all different nations and going into the world to preach the gospel to other nations. Because that's the heartbeat of God. That's having a world view. And churches are sending them to go, to teach all nations. Now go back to the book of Romans and we're done. Romans chapter number 10. So, if you have a world view, a missions view, you have those that are sent and those who send. Or sometimes I put it this way, you're either a goer or you're a sender. You either are called of God to go to the mission field or you're called of God to help people and to send people to the mission field. It's all part of it. It's all part of our Christian experience. It's all part of who we are as believers. It's all part of having a world view. It was Oswald Smith, the great Christian writer, who made this statement. Either you must go yourself, or else you must send someone in your place. And he said, and woe betide you if you do nothing. It is said that many Christians do nothing about getting the gospel into all the world. Very sad. So you have those who are sent and those who send. And the last point is this. there are those who are saved. There are the saved. You know, undoubtedly today we have 39 missionaries. The preaching of the Word of God went forth in churches, much more than 39 churches, because many of our missionaries, they started multiple churches. And it's without doubt today that people in churches that we helped get started were saved. They were saved. They came to know Christ as their Savior. Chapter 10, verse 12, "For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is overall is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, all over the world today, Jesus was lifted up, and people heard about Jesus, and people were saved. People came to know Christ as their Savior. Jesus said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." That's why it's so important to get the Word of God out, whether it's here or whether it's there. Those who are saved, different cultures, different colors, different traditions, different languages, different clothing, different, you can, anything you want to put, but they're all saved the same way. They're all saved by the blood. They're all saved by the blood, by putting their faith in Jesus Christ. So that's my challenge for you tonight, the worldview. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is interested in the world. You and I need to be interested in the world. You and I need to be interested. And you know, let me just finish with this. Because I think sometimes if we're not careful, you hear, you know, all month long we've talked about missions, and now it's just kind of, well, it's our duty, I guess, to give the missions. I know, it's got to be your heartbeat. You've got to have a desire in your heart to want to reach people, to see people get saved, to have a concern for people to get saved, or to be something that this is God burdens you with. I just was reminded of Nehemiah in chapter 1, when Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem, and he saw the walls of Jerusalem had been destroyed. And the Bible says that he was so overtaken, he was so burdened, that he sat down, just crushed by what he saw, and was so motivated that he wanted to rebuild those walls. Missions is the same way. I mean, you put a verse up like Revelation 5, every kindred, every tongue, every people, every nation. You see the Syrian people come. There's a lot of controversy about whether the Syrians should come, whether they shouldn't come. Most of them are Muslims. You didn't have to go to the mission field to preach them. Let them come here. You know the problem with America is? We've stopped preaching the gospel. The churches have stopped caring to share the gospel with people here. Did you ever think about that? You want to bring 10,000 basically Muslim people to this country? But you and I as Christians are doing our job. It gives us the opportunity to minister to 10,000 people from another nation to the gospel. See, it's not the policies coming out of Washington that are going to change things. It's none of that. What's going to change the world, what's going to change people, is what changed me and what changed you. You heard about Jesus. That'll change people's hearts. But it won't happen unless we're involved. We just want to sit back. We just want to wait. No. We have to step up by faith. We've got to get the gospel out to people, the Word of God, in conjunction with the Spirit of God. That changes people's lives and changes people's hearts. Those who are sent, those who send, and then in the end, there are those who are saved. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we ask that you would just instill in our hearts and in our minds the need to preach the gospel, not only here, but around the world. That you would burden us as a church, as a people, to be involved. That we, Lord, would just sense the need. That we would see people lost and dying and on their way to hell. and that it's all about eternity. It's all about the cross. It's all about your heartbeat. It's all about your desire. It's all about your love for people. So I pray, Lord, during these next several days and all we've heard these last several weeks, that you would just burden us as a church and as a people, that we would care, that we not get so caught up with the cares of this world and what we have to have and need, that we would forget that to live for you is to live sacrificially. And that you're such a wonderful God that when we live sacrificially, you often still give us the desires of our heart. So I pray, Lord, as we will finish this up next Sunday, that during this week, that you will be speaking to the hearts and minds of men and women, boys and girls, and that missions being your heartbeat will be the heartbeat of this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and let's sing. Is the old Christmas carol, Go Tell It on the Mountain, in our hymnal? Well, let's sing it tonight as our way to conclude the service as Ethan comes. Let's all stand. I think we know it by heart. At least we know the chorus. Let's just sing it. Are you ready? You know it. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, Jesus Christ is born. Sing it one more time. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Father, dismiss us now in your love, mercy, and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.